Hello, med students. My name is Zach Olson, and thank you for downloading this episode of the EM Clerkship Podcast. Very hot topic today. Here's our case.
Okay, we have a 77-year-old male. He's going to be coming from the urgent care. Presented himself there. He looked pretty sick. They gave us a call. Currently BP 75 over 50, heart rate of 125. We do have him on O2, but his saturation was 94% before we put him on. Lungs are clear. He does have some distension to his abdomen. He is obtunded since we got to him. He does have a history for hypertension and high cholesterol. He's peripherally cold with cyanosis. We administered O2 and 1 liter normal saline. We also drew labs and got cultures. Anybody? Questions? Okay, here we go.
This is sepsis. Huge topic in emergency medicine right now. You might not realize this, but patients who meet sepsis criteria are the sickest patients in the hospital. Their mortality is higher than STEMI, than elderly abdominal pain. Anything you can think of that's bad, sepsis is worse. Sepsis is your patient's worst enemy. Sure, they won't die like right in front of you, but their mortality is 10 to 50%, 5-0, 10 to 50%, depending on the number of systems down, how many other comorbidities they have, that sort of thing. Septic people die. And now there's a lot of history with this disease, and we don't usually talk about history much, but I think it's warranted here. There's this guy named Dr. Manny Rivers. He was from Michigan, and he wrote one of the most famous landmark papers in emergency medicine, like, ever. It was in 2001. It was called Early Goal-Directed Therapy in the Treatment of Severe Sepsis and Septic Shock. This was a huge article because it was the first time that anybody had said that these really sick, infected patients should be resuscitated just incredibly aggressively right up front to improve outcomes. And it was sort of this package of interventions, which you've probably learned before. You don't need to know this right now, but basically you had to give lots of fluid, lots of blood, pressors. They put in the central line. It was like this whole protocol. Well, fast forward now 15 years. We now are doing this whole surviving sepsis campaign. And actually at the end of 2015, CMS turned sepsis into one of their core measures. So this is a big deal. And so I'm going to kind of take you through sepsis today. It'll probably be outdated within 5 years, let's be honest, but we're going to go through this. The main thing you have to know today are your definitions. This is what attendings most frequently ask you on your shifts, and these are the things that you want to identify. And so you need to know what is SIRS and what is sepsis. And then we're going to go through the whole approach to sepsis after that. SIRS is 4 criteria, 4 signs of this sort of revved up, sped up body that should trigger you to consider infection and sepsis in your differential. The first criteria is fever, temperature greater than 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit or less than 96.7 degrees Fahrenheit. For you international listeners, that's more than 38 or less than 36 Celsius. Our second criteria is tachycardia. So if the heart rate's greater than 90. The third is tachypnea, rapid breathing, greater than 20 breaths per minute. And then your 4th criteria is elevated white blood cells, more than 12. All right, so you're tracking fever, tachycardia, tachypnea, and elevated white blood cell count. That's SIRS. Systemic inflammatory response syndrome. Some people add in altered mental status and hypotension and things like that, but you need to know those 4 SIRS criteria. If the patient has any of those, now you ask yourself if you suspect an infection. So pneumonia. In this case, the patient had a big distended abdomen. Any sign that this patient might have an active infection. And this step is important because lots of non-infectious things cause elevated heart rate, dehydration. Things can cause fever. Pulmonary embolism causes fever. But you have to ask yourself if they have two of those four SIRS criteria and if you suspect an infection. If both of those exist, sepsis. That's sepsis. This patient is now probably the sickest person on your list and you have to move. That's the most important thing today. Those definitions. SIRS are those four criteria. Sepsis is SIRS plus if you suspect a source of infection. Like, I think they have pneumonia, or I think they have a urinary tract infection, or I think they might have meningitis, whatever. You have to suspect a source, or then you're going to be over-treating and over-testing. So now that we understand that, let's go through our approach. The patient is septic, let's say. What do you do now? Five steps. They go in order. You ask yourself, does this patient have severe sepsis? And if yes, you do something called the 3-hour bundle. And then you ask yourself if the patient has septic shock. And if they do, then you're giving 30 mLs per kilogram of fluids in septic shock. And then step 5, if they're still hypotensive, you add pressors. You go in order with this. So kind of let's talk through this. Step 1, you have to ask yourself if the patient has severe sepsis. So we know the patient's septic, but what is severe sepsis? It is when an organ system gets damaged. It can be any system. So if the patient has an elevated creatinine, that's kidney damage. Severe sepsis. What if they have hypotension? That's a cardiovascular system issue. So now the patient has severe sepsis. Elevated bilirubin for the liver. Elevated INR. And then the last one is an elevated lactate. The number here is 2. A lactate greater than 2, that is severe sepsis. So if you have sepsis plus organ dysfunction, that is severe sepsis. If none of those are present, you just need to treat the patient normally. They've got a bad infection and nothing crazy needs to happen. You don't need to do some special algorithm for simple sepsis. And the episode would end here. But if they do have a sign of organ dysfunction, then you're going to move on to step 2. Step 2 is the 3-hour ED bundle. When the patient has severe sepsis, you have 3 hours to do 3 specific things, which is in addition to all of the basic stuff you already did, like basic labs and pain meds and whatever. 3 hours, 3 things. You need a lactic acid if you didn't already draw one. You need blood cultures, and you need to give the patient antibiotics. Lactic acid, blood cultures, antibiotics. That's your 3-hour bundle for severe sepsis. This is for severe sepsis. Now you're going to go on to step 3. You've done your 3-hour bundle. Now ask yourself, does this patient have septic shock? So what is septic shock? There's 2 criteria. The first one is hypotension, especially after you give the patient maybe a little bit of fluids up front. And the second criteria is a lactic acid greater than 4 now. So lactic acid greater than 2, that was severe sepsis. Lactic acid greater than 4, that is septic shock. If the patient doesn't have septic shock, you finish your case normally. They have severe sepsis, you're admitting them to the ICU with their 3-hour bundle, done. But if they do have septic shock, now you're going to move on to step 4. You are required to give 30 mLs per kilogram of fluids, of crystalloid, normal saline, lactated ring or something. It is a very specific number. Regardless of comorbidity, if the patient has severe sepsis and either hypotension or an elevated lactic acid greater than 4, 30 mLs per kilogram. And then last, step 5, if the patient is still hypotensive after 30 mLs per kilogram of fluids, you add pressors. And that's the end of the algorithm. Is it severe sepsis with evidence of end organ damage? Because if it is, you do your 3 things in 3 hours, lactic acid, blood cultures, broad spectrum antibiotics. Then you're going to ask yourself, is this septic shock with either hypotension or a lactic acid greater than 4? If so, 30 mLs per kilogram of fluids. And then you ask yourself, are they still hypotensive? Because if they are, pressors. 5 total steps that kind of go in order. That wraps up this episode. I know it was a lot. Re-listen to it if you need to. Send me an email at any time, zach@emclerkship.com, if you have any comments on today's episode. I'd really like your feedback on the podcast if you're finding things like this helpful. And until next time, keep working hard, keep studying, and be sure to enjoy your shift.